So if you look at the way that we have the Bible arranged nowadays, you see it start off with the Hebrew Bible, what we often call the Old Testament, and then it goes into the Gospels, followed by Acts, and then these letters, mostly by Paul, and then with a few other apostles following it. We've been following the narrative lectionary mostly this year, and the narrative lectionary takes us on this journey from Genesis to the end of the Bible. And so we've been following this order, this canon that we traditionally follow the Bible in. And story-wise, narratively-wise, it narratively, I don't know what the word would be there. This is the chronological order, right? We've heard about Jesus, we've heard about his ministry, his death, his crucifixion, and now we're getting into the creation of the church that followed, the people who came afterwards. But historically, the way that these writings were put together didn't really come out chronologically. The Gospels actually weren't probably not put to paper until many years after Paul's letters. And Paul's letter to Thessalonica, the church in Thessalonica, is historically believed to be the earliest letter written. So in many ways, this is the first piece of writing that we could call Christian at this moment. And Acts kind of goes back and tells the story of what went on. So Paul never met the historic Jesus. Paul never saw the living Jesus of Nazareth. But shortly after the crucifixion, many of us have heard the story of Paul's vision of a risen Christ. Paul goes on to persecute followers of Jesus. And after doing that for some time, Paul sees this vision of a risen Christ and changes his ways and decides to follow Christ and ends up going around telling the story of Jesus. And interestingly, here in this earliest of Christian writings, we find a letter to a community in Macedonia, a place that is not historically Jewish, does not have a tremendous amount of people who are following this new religion that Paul has come up from and that Paul is leading this new way down this new path. So here Paul is preaching mostly to Gentiles, to people who don't have the same background as him, who don't have the same background as Jesus, who don't understand this foundation of faith. But he gets many of them to begin to consider following this new way, following this way of Jesus. So Gentiles, along with people who had been brought up in the Jewish faith, are now looking at God in this new way. And Paul travels around and Paul starts to plant these little churches. And church is kind of the only way we can describe them. Church may give us a different picture of what we're thinking. This is what we think of in church, people sitting in rows watching one speaker up front, but in many of these communities, these are small groups of people, maybe as small as a dozen or 15 people, maybe only as large as about 100. And they weren't gathered in buildings because many of them were doing something that was radical, that was frowned upon by the Roman Empire that was in power at the time. So these are small communities, and Paul is going out, and Paul first goes to Corinth, and then he goes to Thessalonica, and founds these little communities. And after a few weeks in Thessalonica, the people start to rise up against him, and there are some riots, and Paul has to leave, fearing for his own life. So he leaves, but this community is still on his mind. So sometime later, he sends back his companion, Timothy, back to Thessalonica and says, go, find out what's going on with these people and tell me what's happening. And Timothy has come back and talked to Paul, and this letter to the church, to the Thessalonians, is Paul's response, is Paul's side of the conversation. One of the frustrating parts often that happens with Paul's letters is we're only getting one side of the conversation. It's like listening to somebody on the phone and not knowing what they're saying on the other side. We hear a lot of Paul's responses to things, but we don't know what the initial situation was. So here, what we see with Paul is Paul reaching back to this community that he hadn't seen for a while, but who still was very, very dear to him. People who were very important to him. And he really cared about them and wanted to know what was going on. And he's happy to hear that they've gone on without him. That even in the face of adversity, they're able to continue worshiping and continue to explore their faith and to continue to look at this new way of following God. Paul's letters, we'll look into this a little bit in the coming weeks, but Paul's letters follow a pretty standard pattern. Probably a pattern that was standard for his day, not just his own style, but his letters often start off with these lovely introductions and these lovely exhortations to people. And, we see a bit of it here, just, dear friends, starts off with kind of a, this is who's writing to you. So Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy writing to the church in Thessalonica. And then it's seems like pages and pages of just this overflowing, just, this is what I love about you. I just want to greet you, and I want you to know that I come to you in the name of God and in the name of Christ, and here are all these wonderful memories I have of you. And it may be a formula, but it was something that just spoke to me so well, so much. In this day of emails and text messages, we don't spend a lot of time telling people how much we care about them. We don't spend a lot of time just greeting people and saying, it's so nice to hear from you. I've been thinking about you. And I wonder, I know it hasn't been centuries since we've lost that letter writing tradition. But I wonder what it would be like to regain it. I wonder what it would be like for all of us to go out there and to begin writing letters again and just to talk about people that we appreciate and people that we love. And I often find myself standing up here and preaching things that I don't always practice myself. So I figured I would call myself on the carpet here. And I wrote a little letter. From Tom to the Church of Sudbury, seeking God's kingdom on earth by following in the footsteps of Christ. May grace and peace be yours. I always thank God for all of you in my prayers. 6 years ago, I was presented with many opportunities to serve a variety of church communities as I searched for my first job as pastor. I believed then, and I still believe today, that God led me to Sudbury. From the first time I read MCC's profile, I felt a pull towards this congregation and felt called to serve God together with you. For 6 years, we have worked side by side, continually exploring our faith. We've gathered in large groups and small to discuss our ideas about God and Jesus. We've sought to discover what it means to be a Christian. We've worshiped, worked, and celebrated together. I have seen God in your midst. We've come together not only as preacher and congregation, but also as pastor and parishioner, individuals in relationship with each other. I thank you for all the times that you invite me into your homes and into your lives, sharing with me the highs and lows that come with life. Whether it's welcoming a new baby into our world or being with loved ones as they leave, it's always a privilege and a blessing to walk with you in life-changing moments. My heart has been heavy as we have said farewell to many saints who lived and worshiped among us. Folks who have died, but who remain a part of this congregation and whose presence will always be in this sanctuary. We have said goodbye to some, and we have welcomed many new friends into our community who have become important and integral into the work that we do in Christ's name. I often boast about you to others. Many of my colleagues and classmates have served more than one church in the past 6 years. They've moved on from the first church that they were called to. In contrast, I still believe that we have work to do together. This congregation has come through conflict and challenges and has grown as a community. You have done hard work to heal, and you have looked into the future, wondering what might be possible for our church. Where is God calling us next? As we head towards this summer and the end of the church year, I hope that you can see the results of your hard work these past months. You have taken the time to join in conversations about what MCC does well. You've engaged in talks about growing our ministry, and you have explored new ways to look at our finances. Thank you for the ways that you have been so instrumental in helping us find God's calling for our church. I always thank God for all of you in my prayers. And friends, I ask that you pray for me as I continue to be your pastor. Here's my charge to you. Take the time today to tell somebody that you appreciate them. It can be a 500-word letter that you write when you go home, or a warm handshake and a hello to somebody new during coffee hour. Find your oldest friend and tell them your favorite thing about them. Or is there someone that you have seen every Sunday in church but have never had the time to say hi? Reach out to somebody that you've only seen from afar and introduce yourself. Say thank you to a church committee member who has been working so hard behind the scenes. Paul had to send his letters. It was the only way that he could communicate to his churches. It may seem like a luxury or a nuisance for us today, but the few minutes that we spend telling an old friend or a new acquaintance that we love them can make all the difference in the world. I always thank God for all of you in my prayers. May the peace of God continue to be with us in all that we do. May the grace of our Lord Jesus, God's anointed Christ, be with you all. Amen.